WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin'.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Modest to the top. Modest at the top. Straight to the top, but then keep heading up. Stars shine, but why we should give a fuck about what is real and how real is still the only way to feel the pain that sometimes feels in a way that survives the struggles we face in this life that's a lot of time can't erase. Showcase the skills you were given at birth. Live your life here for what it's worth. Show off the style you
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. I mean, it's 20 years of TNA. I figured this is fitting. Right? Anyway.
I hate you, Rock. I hate you so much.
That's the intern, Kane Kittens.
So Rock, for this show, do we have as convoluted a rule set as, like, the king or queen of the mountain?
No, but you gotta fix your microphone.
Better?
There you go.
Yeah, it was up. My bad.
Up, down. Just bring it down. Yeah.
But Rock, so before we can tag Keishi in, he has to get pinned and then go into the cage for like 3 minutes, right?
Wrong match.
I thought we were doing a reverse battle royal.
Was earlier. That was earlier.
He's talking about King of the Mountain.
No, Queen of the Mountain is on right now.
Oh, yeah, Queen of the Mountain. Oh. Yeah.
So, yeah, you. It's the most convoluted rule set ever for a match. So, technically, no one can win until someone is pinned, and then the pinny has to go into a cage, and that whoever pinned is now eligible to climb a ladder and hang a belt instead of pull it down, just to take it immediately off said hook because you want it.
So they got rid of the penalty box and replaced it with a tiny cage?
It's always been a tiny cage.
The penalty
Why did I think it was a penalty box? Oh, okay.
They call it the penalty box, but it's a small cage.
I see. See, I was thinking it was just like an actual, like, because, you know, Canadian.
Canadian, eh? What you talking about?
I was thinking like a regular penalty box.
Hot cage! Yay!
You know, not a cage, but like boards and plexiglass.
Yeah.
I mean, we did have Team Canada out there representing in the last match.
We did.
There you go.
We did, for the boys. Anyway, that's Keishi.
Yeah! We're here to talk about Slammiversary. Clearly.
Clearly. And then the one and only Tim Stein.
Hello.
Hi, Tim.
How are you?
Good.
I'm glad to hear that. I'd like to start off by saying Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. Hope that you had a great time sleeping in an extra half hour before you got pestered to fire up the barbecue because it's Father's Day.
I actually had barbecue cooked for me today.
Ooh, congratulations, Casey. Happy Father's Day, Casey.
And to you as well, Tim.
Well, thank you very much, because, like, we're dads. I mean, what's that? You mean, what do you mean?
I mean, if you want to, like, your classic definition, yes, we're fathers.
Yes, and I guess Team Chat's a dad, too. Should we wish him a happy Father's Day?
I think so.
Okay. Well, happy Father's Day, Team
Chat. See, he got barbecued for. Wifey made hamburgers for Team Chat tonight. There you go.
Oh, wow.
I went to a baseball league windup, and they barbecued.
Mm. I have a hard time with people cooking for me.
I mean, they were hot dogs. It's not like it was hard.
Oh, check it out. You did the team steak boogie.
Yeah, well, it was baseball. You got to have a dog. Team steaks
at a baseball game.
Absolutely.
Yes, Canada knows baseball, believe it or not.
It's where you hit the puck over the goalpost, right?
No, that's lacrosse.
Oh, got it.
Yes, our other national sport. We've got two of them.
I thought the shuffleboard thing was also.
No.
It's not official.
Canada has two official national sports, lacrosse. Hockey was added about 25 years ago.
Wow. I thought it was moose races.
No, it's not officially recognized. It's but like, you know, it's unofficial.
Only in Saskatchewan and the Northwest Territories.
Curling is the unofficial national sport. Moose racing is Alaskan. What the hell are you talking about?
Alaska is Canada light. It's fine.
Tell that to the Alaskans. Have you ever been to Alaska?
No, because I like having daylight.
I've actually been to Alaska.
They've got nothing but daylight in the summertime,
Good fishing.
The only Canadian thing about Alaska is the snow. If anybody is listening from Alaska, hi.
Good fishing in Alaska.
If anyone's listening from Alaska, I'm sorry.
Do they have internet in Alaska?
It's powered by, you know, sled dogs. So, yes.
I thought it was powered by moose. You know what the plural for moose is, intern?
Mooses.
Moose.
But he was on an hour and a half ago.
Oh, nice. Moose is on?
Moose.
Moose victorious?
No, he was not. And
the moose is loose.
And he made the unfortunate error of wearing white pants to a Monsters Ball match.
Well, that's just the oopsie.
They got all red and bloody and stuff.
I'm sure it was on purpose.
Oh, it was definitely on purpose. Doesn't mean it looked good.
No. But was it like Matt Cardona bad? Or
not that bad. No.
What the hell is Mickey James wearing?
Semi-referee kind of looking gear.
Sure, we'll go with that.
I was thinking maybe as little as possible.
No, she's wearing more than normal. Anyway.
Yeah, she's.
Wait, is it more or less than Shawn Michaels in his referee gear?
More. Because when Shawn went ref, you saw all the cheeks. Anyway, we're here to talk wrestling. Because things have happened this week.
So, Rock, speaking of all the cheek. No,
where do we want to begin? Do we want to begin with Vince, or do we want to stay topical and with Jeff? And what do you want to, guys? Where do you guys want to start?
Well, let's just start at the top, you know, with Vince.
Okay, we'll start with Vince and Kennedy McMahon.
Embroiled in another scandal, and of course people who don't know WWF or WWE are like, oh, did you hear about Vince? And then everybody who's known about WWE forever are like, yeah, what's new?
Even people who don't really know what WWE is about know about what's going on with Vincent Kennedy McMahon and how people...
For those of you who have been living under a rock or in Alaska.
Apparently in Alaska, yeah.
Yeah. Vince is in deep shit because he wound up being exposed as having an affair with a...
paralegal.
I was going to say an employee of the female persuasion. And apparently because they were practicing... submission maneuvers in private. Her salary, just about doubled?
Went from $100,000 to $200,000, and then eventually she would get a payoff of millions of dollars after signing an NDA to not talk about the relationship between herself and Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Now, what I want to know is, if she signed an NDA and hasn't said squat, who squealed?
Supposedly it's a friend?
A friend of the involved individual.
You see, now there's where you screwed up. If you're going to get somebody to sign a non-disclosure agreement to protect yourself, make sure you include that they're not allowed to talk about it with anybody, and nobody they know is allowed to talk about it either.
Oh, I thought you were going to say that the error was having friends.
That's not an error, having friends. Of course, that further begs the question. If she signed an NDA, wouldn't her friend having knowledge of this violate that?
Not if she didn't tell her friend.
How would her friend have found out?
Or did she know about it before the NDA was signed?
There you go. So this paralegal was blabbing about it before she was told to shut up for $3 million. Can I just put this out there right now? All of these conspiracy theorists, this $3 million payout has nothing to do with all of the cuts WWE went through over the last year and a half.
Who thought that was the thing?
Hey,
idiots. Idiots
thought that was the thing.
Did you not see that on social media?
No. No.
What about you, intern?
I think people were trying to be funny and failed miserably.
There were people who were believing it.
Well, those people are idiots.
Those are the idiots. So, I was going to ask if you'd seen any of this, Casey, but you're never on social media.
That's not 100% true.
No, he's on.
I go on to push wrestling shows. That's about as far as it goes.
And make random. He makes random comments from time to time at Kyle Driver.
Yeah, I do.
So he's on there enough. He knows what's going on, but he probably doesn't follow the same people you followed him or that I follow.
Oh, I don't deep dive. I kind of just like I skip rocks on the surface.
Twitter can be a scary place.
You know what I mean.
For some,
Twitter is toxic as hell, and if you don't get immersed in it, it can be very entertaining.
That's why some just stay off.
Don't lose yourself on Twitter.
Yeah. That's why some people just avoid places like Twitter and Reddit and all those places.
4chan.
Oh, by the way, Cash, when was the last time you were at Dollarama?
Last week.
Okay, for those of you who don't know what Dollarama is, because I don't think it's in the States, it's the Canadian version of Dollar Tree. I was in there today picking up some paint supplies for my business because I can get paint roller refill for like $1.25, as opposed to going to like Home Depot or any of the other hardware stores and having to pay $5 for the exact same thing. It's great.
Okay.
So I'm walking down the aisle and I came across this thing for $4. It's Bluetooth and it's a little speaker. And I thought $4. Yeah. What the hell? It's $4. Let's give it a try. That's $4 Canadian. So like 50 cents US or some shit. But Casey, if you see this thing in Dollarama and you like listening to like radio or music on your phone, but you're not always into using earpieces, pick it up. It's awesome.
Is it waterproof?
It is water. I can't remember if they said it was waterproof or water resistant. The packaging's still in my truck. I tore it out and charged it up on the way home.
Oh, and, maybe I'll wander across the street to the Dollarama across from my office and take a look.
There you go. Like it's all hooked up and everything right now. And it's just the sound quality is way better than the speaker that's built into your cell phone. I mean, this is great.
Okay. Nice. We're not hashtag not an ad. What exactly are we doing?
Brock, what are we doing? It's called early CB radio is what we're doing.
Oh
right
my
now.
God. Can we get back on topic, please? I will turn this show around and turn it off if this is the road we're going down, because this, no.
So Vince McMahon.
Get yourself one.
Vince McMahon. The funny thing is, there is a contingent of people online that are sitting there going, I don't understand why this is such a big deal. I mean, it's his personal life, and I want to be like, no, he's a publicly traded company. This is no longer a like private life thing, especially if he used possible company funds to do so.
He did not. That was disclosed. It was not company funds. It was his own personal money.
Yeah.
Okay. I think the biggest problem was like is then not so much the payoff and the NDA. It's the abuse of power and the fact that like from a business perspective, I think that raise that this person got comes into question.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a publicly traded company. This is many times more serious.
He's got to answer to the investors.
Because it's a publicly traded company now, this is a several orders of magnitude more serious than the steroid scandal of the 90s.
In a way, yes. Will anything really come out of this?
No.
No, probably not.
I think an example of nothing is really going to change from this was Friday night.
Yeah.
A lot of people were calling that disrespectful as hell.
No, I'm not even talking about Vince coming out on camera.
Oh.
I'm talking, if you read what happened behind the scenes, Vince was even more hands-on with the script and everything. And essentially, it's a show to be like, guys, guess what? I'm still here. So even though he may have stepped away from president and
CEO and chairman
duties, yeah. Thank you. It's still, you know, he's still the head of creative and he's still going to be there. It just so happens that his daughter is going to be the person that steps in for the interim as chairperson and CEO. Mm. But he can still completely have his thumb on everything.
Well, you know, Monday night, we're going to meet his brother, Ezekiel McMahon.
God, I hope not.
Well, y'all did see that meme, right?
I did.
That's great, Tim. Yeah, it's
good. I did send that to you.
Great, Tim. You sent it hours after everyone else probably saw it in the world. Anyway.
It was still fucking humorous.
Yeah, it's a good visual meme, not an audio meme. Anyway.
Yeah, you can't hear it. But, you know, you could just throw it up on the screen there really quick when people could see it who are listening in the live chat room at twitch.tv/WTRLive.
I could, but I won't.
So
Stephanie McMahon is now the interim CEO and chairwoman of WWE. Do we see her actually being able to make some changes that people kind of hope she can?
I mean, he's still there. I doubt it.
I was going to say, I think, like I just said, he's very much going to have his thumb on the pulse. So as much as she or the board may be like, hey, we're going to try to make some changes, he still has 51% controlling interest. He still has the final say.
Well, my biggest question with Stephanie stepping in as chairman and CEO for the time being, is she going to be wearing a visible or an invisible earpiece? I do not know why you exhaled like that. I was making a point.
Were you?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think the biggest thing was the fact that, what was it, 2-3 weeks ago?
Wow.
Was when Stephanie took her time away.
It was like three, four weeks ago, yeah.
And you started to hear from everyone that, you know, oh, this was possibly because she was very poor at her job, or you started to hear a lot of things about her as an executive. Yet this situation, that's who they went with as chairperson and CEO. So that's very interesting, because how much of that was based in fact, or how much was it speculation from everyone saying, oh, she was, you know, she was relieved of her duties. Yeah, it was because she sucked.
Yeah, how much of her stepping away ties into what is currently going on right now?
It's hard to say.
I don't know if that's maybe necessarily something she was privy to, being that
she would have been board investigated. It was starting investigation back in March was like the first email that sort of came out about it, and then April was more sort of the investigation continued. So she would have known at that point what was going on.
Well,
since she's since she's a member of the board.
That's so, got to be a weird spot to be in as like a board member and daughter.
Hearing about your dad sleeping with a paralegal? Yeah. That's got to be. Especially when, I mean, and now we're starting to hear, like, we've kind of, I think some people have guessed that, you know, maybe there was some stuff going on between Vince and Linda for a while.
Oh yeah, the whole storyline, Vince second face with, who was it, Trish Stratus, and Linda was after having suffered a stroke, motionless in a wheelchair, comatose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is not a shock to have something like this actually come about. It's not like Vince has never done something as unsavory in the past. I mean, there were stories about an actual female referee not getting a job or keeping her job or whatever because she refused to perform certain favors on Vince in the back of his limo. At the time, no proof that it actually happened, so put down as nothing more than rumor. In light of the current situation, people are taking a second look and a third look.
So that's the Vince McMahon story, which trumped the first original story of the week, Jeff Hardy, who was arrested for DUI driving with a suspended license, I believe. There was one other charge. On Monday morning, he was then later suspended, a couple days, I think on Tuesday afternoon, by AEW.
I think it was Wednesday morning,
I think it was Tuesday. It was Tuesday. Because was it Wednesday? Maybe Wednesday.
I thought it was we were waiting to see what happened. He got removed from the, they got pulled from the match.
Yeah, he was removed and then...
And then Wednesday morning was when they, I think they actually issued the official statement that he was... suspended without pay and will have to undergo rehab and essentially be clean before he's allowed back.
Now, unlike the Vince situation, this is not something to make light of or engage in nasty jokes. Addiction is a very serious disease, and it's an ongoing battle. And the tragedy here is that he's received help on how many separate occasions?
It's been on multiple occasions, and it was on Tuesday afternoon. I looked it up.
It happened Tuesday afternoon, and he was suspended Wednesday morning.
No, he was suspended Tuesday afternoon. The event happened
Tuesday afternoon.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I see that now.
But, like I said, this is serious shit. No laughing matter at all.
So Jeff was let go by WWE, or they came to the agreement for him to leave WWE. He walked out, however you want to describe it, back in November, I think it was, right after Survivor Series.
Yeah.
And people wondered exactly, they were like, everyone was against WWE for, they should just let him go and all these other things. And WWE wanted to have him take a drug test and all these other things. And people were like, why are they doing that to him? It's like, there's concern about Jeff.
That's so wrong that they make him take a drug test. It's I'm sorry, where there's smoke, there's fire at times. And when you have someone that has had that many instances with both drugs and alcohol, I'm sorry, if he's acting weird and behaving in a certain way at a live event, if I was, part of management there, I'd ask him to, go pee in a cup too.
Now, the thing about WWE, wanting him to pee in a cup, as you say, their hypocrisy pisses me off so much. The one thing that I was supremely against was this whole storyline between Jeff and Sheamus, where Sheamus is just like getting on his ass about being an addict, and WWE actually using that as a storyline. Believe what you will. There is no way of saying that this didn't play into the back of Jeff's mind and subconsciously work at helping to turn him back to substance abuse.
I mean, it was a year difference between all the storyline and what happened.
Yes, I understand there was quite a gap that we know of. Doesn't mean that he was successfully concealing it before he got nabbed. And if you know anything about addicts, the odds are very likely that he was using again for a long time before he went fully off the rails in public. But basically the point is, if you got somebody, because you're never cured of addiction. It's always you're 100% all the time in recovery. You are permanently recovering from your addiction, and it's a day-to-day fight. And I get it's a storyline. Yeah, okay. But there are some things you should just not do. This is one of them.
That being said, I think some of the people that have questioned part of this Jeff Hardy storyline, or Jeff Hardy's story as it played out this week, have a viable concern in the fact of there are two DUIs that he has been arrested for on the record in Florida. Correct, Rock?
I don't know if it's in Florida in general, but there are three on his record now.
There are three now. So there were two on his record in Florida
previously.
For all we know, there could be another one or two elsewhere.
No, I said I don't know if it was all in Florida. There's just three on his record in general.
Okay, okay. But it's one of those things that, okay, so he had a suspended license and he was driving. That's already a strike. But you're Jeff Hardy. Are you telling me you cannot find a way to avoid that kind of situation?
You have never dealt with addiction, have you?
Around me, yes, I have. But I'm saying, like, I understand addiction, but at the same time, Jeff could very easily get an Uber.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's not
that hard to be like, wow, I'm feeling really, you know, messed up. Or he could be like, I'm feeling good, even though he was four times the legal limit. All you have to do is call someone to be like, hey, I need a ride home.
Yeah, when you're that messed up, you're not going to be thinking straight. So
then that is his fault.
It was at 9. It was 9 a.m. or 9 something in the morning as well. So he could have. He was going for a brain scan supposedly. Uber, Lyft. Those are options. Those are one. How
a taxi
attack anything? Those are things that he should be aware of and should be should be told about all the time.
Because the one thing in this story that is a godsend is that no one got hurt or, you know, even worse from this. Because if that had happened, Jeff would have been in an entirely different world of hurt.
And that's what people are trying to avoid. And that they want him to avoid is a situation where what Sonny is involved in right now. You don't want that to, you don't want to go down that path. And like we've talked about with the Usos in the past. It's like, just get an Uber. Just if you wanted to drink, get an Uber. Like, Jeff's big problem.
That's all fun and dandy. And when you're sober, you're going to be thinking shit like that. But once you hit intoxication, your brain, the rational part of your brain is totally switched right off. And the wrong part of your brain is going to tell you, yeah, you're fine to drive. Go ahead.
Then he needs a handler when he's on the road. And it cannot be his brother. He needs a handler to do that for him. He needs somebody.
I don't disagree with you on that at all. But the fact of the matter is you don't have the capacity when you are intoxicated through booze or drugs or you know, like whatever has you intoxicated. You do not have the mental capacity to think rationally or normally. It's not there. And like you guys, if you drink at all, maybe you've gotten a little tipsy and your brain is still saying, okay, well, I've had a bit to drink, so I should call a cab. Yeah. Okay. Those of us who have drunk, you know, who have partaken in the booze at some point in time in our adult lives have reached that point. I have. Oh, I'm too drunk to drive. I'll call a cab. That's all fine and dandy. But there comes a point in time where somebody with an addiction like that crosses the line. And I know what I'm talking about because at one point in time, I had to deal with somebody who had such an addiction. And it gets to a point where you become a functioning alcoholic. Have you seen the movie Flight?
Yes.
Okay. Where he's all totally, like near the end of the movie, he's totally, totally messed up in the hotel room the morning of the hearing. And his dealer comes in and literally jump starts him with some alcohol and some cocaine and some other stuff. And all of a sudden he's looking and acting completely sober, wide awake, and with it, being able to be a functional drunk is no small feat, and a lot of people can pull it off, and the odds are good you know somebody who's drunk, but you don't know they're drunk because they're capable of acting sober while drunk.
Okay. When
you get to that point, your brain's on cruise control. You know, what Rock said, he should have a handler. It's the only way to keep him from getting his ass into trouble, because he is somebody who has crossed that line and he's over on that other side. And the thing is, nobody knows how long he's been there for.
So here's the here's another part of this issue. So recently we saw Jeff in an impaired state, is the best way I'll call it. I'm not saying it was via substances, but in his most recent match that we saw on television or pay-per-view, Jeff was impaired. Correct, Rock?
Physically impaired.
He's physically impaired via a concussion, because Matt basically said he doesn't remember the match.
Mm-hmm. Had nothing. Now, hold on, I want to clarify. What he's talking about had nothing to do with alcohol or drugs or anything like that. He was in pain. Continue.
I just want
to clarify. He's
physically impaired, had a mental injury that he was going to essentially go see a doctor for as part of this. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. If you have a head injury, it is probably not good for you to participate in the behavior that Jeff was when he was arrested, correct?
Yeah.
And especially because we've seen the video come out recently of him performing with his band. And the best way to describe this is, it wasn't a bottle that he had. It was a jug. And so someone with a head injury doing that, at least in my opinion, shows diminished capacity. And if that's the case, if he cannot make the decisions in order to be like, I should not drive, or like, I think I can do this, then he needs to be put in a conservatorship now. He should not be in place to be able to make the kinds of decisions that got him into trouble.
We hope that Jeff Hardy figures it out.
Mm-hmm.
We hope that he finds a way to correct all his demons or keep them under control. That's the best way to put it. Get them under control.
The only thing that has to be kept in mind throughout all of this, and another reason why I strongly agree with you, Rock, about him having a handler, you can't force somebody to accept help.
No, you can't. And I said this on Thursday. Like, they want him to go to rehab and whatever. And that's great. He needs an actual therapist, because it's all triggering to something. Matt mentioned it was his mother. It's been that way since, a long time. But he also lost his father recently, and that re-triggered stuff. He needs to talk all that out, and maybe that will give him some clarity. So there's that. In lighter news, Randy Orton is out with a back injury and has caused WWE to shake up plans.
Lighter news? Jesus.
Less serious shit.
In lighter news, Brock Lesnar's back because Randy's hurt.
And Cody.
No, Brock was coming back before Cody, because this was planned for like 3 weeks already.
And was it because Randy was hurt, or is it because they put all the belts on Roman and then Roman was like, ah, just kidding, I'm not going to be around that often?
No, but it was because Randy got hurt, because SummerSlam was supposed to be Randy and Roman for the title. That was the plan. So now Brock's in the title match, last man standing. Thoughts?
Yeehaw.
Look, I enjoy Cowboy Brock. I will say it. Cowboy Brock is fun. I think it shows that this was in case of emergency break for Brock.
Yeah, and people were upset about that.
And I understand where they're coming from as well.
I understand it too. But you also have to come to a realization that look at the roster and look at all the people that they're setting up and have been trying to set up for him. They just did Riddle on Friday, which was a really good match between Roman and Riddle.
That was an incredible match, by the way.
They worked their asses off. Riddle looked really, really good.
I think that was the first time I was ever solidly behind Riddle as a wrestler and a character.
And you could see that now. You see why they've been very high on Riddle. No pun intended.
I was waiting for that.
Yeah, but like the potential has always been there for him. They've seen it since they signed him for NXT. They always thought, hey, this is a good. He's going to be a big star for us. Match with Roman certainly helped that.
Mm-hmm.
That match on Friday, that really helped put Riddle over.
Mm-hmm. But then you look at the pieces that are trying to go to. Randy was supposed to be the option. Randy got hurt. Cody was probably going to be an option at some point, but probably not SummerSlam, because I think we would all agree that was a little too soon for it.
Yeah.
And the other name that floats around is Drew McIntyre. Well, they're trying to save him for September in the United Kingdom to do that big match. So it's like, what other chess piece are you going to put in that spot?
Kevin, oh wait.
Because they can't do Seth Rollins because they did that already this year at the Rumble.
Yes.
Which was a really good, like, him in the Shield gear and everything like that. Like, you had Lashley, but they already started going in the Theory direction with him. But I don't know if we all kind of want to see Roman and Lashley. I don't know if that was a thing. They could go to it at some point, but I don't know if we're there yet for it. So it's like, had to be someone like Brock then, right?
I can't think of anybody offhand.
I was going to say, I've tried to go through the main roster, like upper mid card to top tier, and run through names, but it's...
And it's not like... Yeah, it's not
they
like,
were basically literally put into a corner.
It's not like they don't have people. Like, you could do Kevin and Roman. That could be a thing, but Kevin's a heel, so that doesn't work out.
And also, we had like 4 months of that feud.
Yeah, so we've seen it, and that's what happens when, you know, Roman's been champion for almost 2 years now, and you've kind of run the table. It's not like they don't have people. Like, that's the misconception. There are people in the roster that can fill those spots. But
they've already done a program with each of them.
Right, and that's what happens when you have a two-year-long champion. And then the two guys you've been positioning, hey, we're going to go A and B, boom. They both get hurt. Now you got to reconsider what you're doing.
Wait, I've got it. Debut Gable Steveson.
Ooh.
He wants to go back to school for another year.
Good for him.
Rock.
I'm just saying, that's the thing.
Yeah, don't blame Rock. What are you doing?
Just throwing logic into...
Rock, it's all your fault he wants to get an education.
No, he's blaming me for throwing logic into his scenario.
Yeah.
I mean, he could just feed Roman beer.
Do you really want to watch Roman Reigns versus Veer at SummerSlam?
I don't want to see
anybody versus Veer.
No, no, what we do, Rock, is we just put Kofi out there for a 20-second match.
And that's another one, Big E. You could have fit him in, but he also got injured in the last few months.
Oh, come on. Like, just do some proper booking and put him against Jinder Mahal.
Tim, corner.
Proper booking, he says. Proper
Tim,
booking.
Tim, corner. No, wait.
No,
wait.
No. You don't tell me that shit.
Brock, I've got it. You have the Oos turn on the Bloodline, and you set up Sammy versus Roman at SummerSlam.
No.
I mean, SummerSlam's what, July?
End of July, yeah.
Well, just pay not the Rock that, $2.5 million for one night.
Not that I necessarily want to squash it right away, but you could put him against Finn now that he's part of Judgment Day.
It's technically the Judgment Day.
In any case.
But I think we're leaning towards Edge and Finn to finish off that story at SummerSlam, one would assume.
Yeah.
Again, that's another name that, and he's already beat Finn. He even beat the Demon.
Yes, but
the collapsing ring. That's right.
We've done that.
We forgot about that.
The problem also is the fact that, and I hate to say this, 600 days has felt way too long right now. Because he's run through everybody.
And
the only person he hasn't gone through is Gunther.
I mean, that's a name.
That's too soon, though.
Right,
I think.
Yeah, it's way too soon.
And if they feed Gunther to Roman, that'll kill him.
Oh, it totally would.
I mean, we could try to build up Shanky.
They are building him up with interpretive dance.
He's the next Mahabali Shira, and the Shira Shake. There's your TNA reference, but. And people go, well, they released all these people. But guess what? Roman beat the main eventers they released. He beat Bray Wyatt. He beat Braun Strowman in this 2 year reign. Like, he's beating these people. So it's like, even if they were there, like, you can't go back to those names.
Well, has he beat Sheamus lately?
But Sheamus is heel, so like, and is Sheamus really in a position to be a world title challenger at this stage?
To be fair, I saw something that was amazing in an interview that if Sheamus wins the Money in the Bank, what he wants to do.
What does he want to do?
Cash it in for the Intercontinental title to become the ultimate Grand Slam champion.
Because it's the one belt he's not ever had.
Exactly. Because all it says is you challenge for...
You get a championship opportunity?
Yeah.
Doesn't it say world championship opportunity?
I can't remember.
I kind of think that's kind of a thing.
But that would just be, that'd be hilarious if it's like, you win the Money in the Bank and you cash in on the IC title.
So, yeah. That's the situation they're in. It's, they have people, but they've run through the people. Brock is your choice, and sucks that Randy got hurt, because the one thing Randy's done pretty well, except for a couple times, is staying healthy for consistent periods. And he was on a run for a good while staying healthy.
Because he was taking plenty of time off.
I mean, he works his 85 days a year. I mean, he gets through it. He does what is written into his contract.
I was going to say, he worked out that deal, so by all means, power to him for it.
100% power to him, is it? It's what it's the contract he got. I mean, he's gonna roll with it. All right, before we go for the evening, time for a little bit of all-time greatest.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
It's time for another WTR original.
I am the greatest.
All-time greatest.
Well, whoop the freaking do!
Help us decide what the greatest intro, submission move, or even the greatest title run ever truly is.
I hope I score.
Interact with us in the real-time chat and find out who or what will end up being the all-time greatest.
We got Rikishi taking on John Cena. Keishi.
John Cena.
Okay.
I love Rikishi, but I mean, John Cena's, it's John Cena. Rikishi was great, but John Cena was like the babyface's babyface. The never giving up, the make wishes, the not turning on the back portion of his foot in the end of his career. He didn't do it for The Rock. He didn't do it for his people. Rikishi did.
And Rikishi was punished by being pushed into the back of a
truck.
Hay truck. Yeah.
Brent.
I've got to go with Cena, even though, like, when Rikishi came out, the fans loved him. They loved the dancing, loved the stink face, all of that. I mean, Big Match John is the quintessential babyface. Mm-hmm. Now, people got sick of him being pushed down their throat, but still, if we're going, you know, just overall babyface, it's got to be John.
Tim?
Yeah, Rikishi would win almost any other matchup except for this one. John Cena, his babyface run transcended the ring. It transcended the WWE. Jesus. I mean, it's impossible not to pick him.
Mm-hmm. All right. John Cena moves on that one. The Stinger takes on AJ Styles. Brent.
Oh, God, this is hard because I was going to say they're like the icons of two different companies, but then Sting was also in TNA. But I think for this, I'll go AJ. Sting in his babyface runs was good, except like when he was the blonde surfer Sting, no offense, there wasn't a lot to him. He'd have his Hulk up moments and he, you know, Stinger Splash and Scorpion Deathlock. You're like, all right, cool. But he was just, you know, generic good guy with the face paint. When he went the NWO Sting, or, you know, the Dark Sting, I should say.
Tweener Sting.
Tweeners, well, to be fair, for a year, we didn't really see him. I mean, yes, he was up in the rafters. Yes, you know, the people still cheered for him, but he just kind of disappeared. And then he started to, you know, become the Crow. Then he joined the Wolf Pack, which still boggles my mind. And then it's like when he went to TNA, it was just his TNA run always bothered me. I understand that, you know, he still thought he had something to prove and they were giving him an opportunity, but it just it felt like the guy that was just trying to hang on a little bit. And then when they did the Main Event Mafia and he went corporate, for lack of a better word, it was kind of like, oh, okay. Whereas when AJ is a babyface, it's like everyone adored him. And even when he did the Sting treatment, like, people were still behind him because essentially he got screwed by Dixie. So, and when he's in WWE, like the pop he got when he came out for the Rumble just solidifies my answer. Because like when he came out at number, was it 3 or 4? And
his debut at the Rumble still pisses me off.
It was number 3.
Even though the camera didn't catch it. You heard the fans. You heard the fans though. And it was just like, okay, yeah, this is a big deal.
All right. So you're going AJ?
I'm going AJ.
Keishi.
This is tough. Stupid bracket getting tougher as time goes on.
That's what happens.
Stupid bracket being a bracket and acting like a bracket does.
And it's only round two.
It's amazing how Casey makes the word bracket sound like a swear word.
Bracket.
Kiss your son with that mouth?
Yeah. Well, okay. I never got a lot of Surfer Sting. In fact, I never got any of Surfer Sting because I'm in Canada and we didn't get WCW then. So I don't know. Well, no, I didn't.
I had the channels.
I had no idea that WCW existed until junior high school. Anyway, Crow Sting, well, a baby face, not necessarily a baby face in the realm of like what I envision a baby face as far as this particular contest goes, until much later in his career, kind of towards like, you know, after the Wolfpack stuff and more into TNA and even, you know, WWE and kind of what he's doing now. Whereas kind of AJ Styles' babyface-ness has kind of been the like more defined babyface role, and he's always done really well with it. Anytime I always got behind AJ Styles when he was a babyface, so I'm gonna pick AJ Styles.
Tim,
yeah, I'm behind AJ Styles whether he's a babyface or a heel because AJ Styles. But I'm gonna, for this one, it doesn't matter, but I'm picking Sting.
Okay. We have Tommy Dreamer taking on Chris Jericho, Tim.
Oh boy. You know, I was a huge Dreamer fan during ECW. Mm-hmm. I really was. And he was one of those guys that would simultaneously be an underdog and the favorite, if that makes sense to you. Like, he could pull both off, like, literally, practically, at the same time. Jericho, his greatest run is as anti-hero or heel. But as a babyface, most of the times, he's just, you know, phenomenal. With apologies to AJ Styles. This is a tough one. It really is. There was only one time I hated Jericho's one of his babyface runs, and that was in WCW right before making the jump to WWE.
What was he doing that was babyface right before his jump to WWE?
Well, not right before his jump to WWE. It was. God, this was so long ago.
The only reason I'm asking is my recollection of Jericho in WCW was literally like a heel all the way, like from the time that he ripped up the ring announcer's suit, mm-hmm. all the way through to when he was, you know, calling out Goldberg. I don't recall him doing anything babyface from like that. Any of that time, and then I'm pretty sure shortly after the Goldberg thing, he left.
Well, no, he had a cup of coffee as a babyface in WCW. It wasn't working.
Yeah,
and they made him heel, and I think that was on his input.
So who are you going with, Tim?
That's the problem. I am having such a tough time right now.
Make a decision.
Oh fuck! Just for the nostalgia and memories, I'm picking Tommy Dreamer.
Okay, Brent.
Really, for me, it's not much of a choice. It's Tommy Dreamer, only because, to me, Jericho, like, though he's getting face reactions, he's not a baby face. More times than not, he's a heel that just wants to be adored by the fans. And if you want a perfect example of that, just look at AEW right now. He's supposed to be a heel, but he wants fans to sing his song. He wants to be cheered, but he wants to act heelish. And to me, if we're talking about baby faces, it's Tommy Dreamer. It's the guy who constantly had the world against him, who didn't want to ever get the world title because that's the biggest storyline. It's the guy who's always chasing, never quite getting there. And I mean, even when he did win the title, he got like immediately crotched and beat down by Just Incredible to win the belt.
Casey.
I love Chris Jericho. I think all of the stuff that he's done through his career is really, really, really good. Most of that, though, is heel stuff. The few times that he's been a babyface have been okay. His whole like little storyline with Trish when she like double crossed him, kind of like the couple, was good. Like that was probably his like truest babyface run of anything. But even then, it was still kind of tweener, and most of the other stuff that he did as a babyface was very like tweener sort of attitude era anti-hero type stuff. Whereas, you know, like Brent said, Dreamer was always the underdog, always chasing 100%. Like if you ask anybody who knows anything about ECW, they're going to say like Tommy Dreamer was probably the ultimate babyface. So I'm going to go with Tommy Dreamer.
And there you go. And with that, we're done for the night.
Well, looky there. We're all done for tonight. That's cool. Normally, we would be talking to you about, you know, next Sunday show, but there's not going to be a webcast next Sunday night, guys. We're forbidden to have one.
Brock and I are busy.
Okay, fair enough. Tomorrow night, immediately following Raw, it's the post show.
Yeah, it's the Raw post show, 11 p.m. Eastern, every single Monday night.
Smart up, you guys. Hey, Lindsay Ward will return Thursday with another edition of the multi-time, multi-award-winning The Rock Radio Show. I guess she's going to have to put up with that anchor called Rock as well.
6, 23, 22, 10, Thursday. Ask the Rock.
What are they talking about? Tune in and find out.
I was plugging it, Tim. Got questions? We're playing Ask the Rock. So anything you want to ask, sports, movies, pop culture, wrestling, it doesn't matter except for personal politics. We'll answer it all. And if you ask a stupid question, you're going to get a stupid answer. Tune in.
Personal politics? Wow.
Neither one are. We're not doing those two subjects. So anyway, talk all about Thursday, 10 p.m. Eastern, as the Rock turns 10.
Oh, before we talk about Saturday, don't forget to use the creator code Rock, Rock and Sock.
Yes.
Or Rock or whatever.
Wow. Use creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop. Buy all your new skins, battle passes, and stuff. There's Spooderman. There's a new Spooderman in there. So go buy your Spoodermans. Hashtag in the corner.
And Fortnite. Spooderman? Sounds like a character on Seinfeld.
Spiderman. Anyway, doesn't matter. Saturday night, Fortnite with friends about 10, 10:30, whenever we get our shit together. Followed by CB Radio, midnight-ish, CBRadio.com.
You're just really boring when you plug CB Radio. I mean, jazz it up a little bit, the multi-time whatever.
Occurring? Multi-time occurring?
The multi-time per month. The wild, the wacky, the unusual, the closet ice cream lovers. I don't know. Like, jazz it up a bit.
You can follow us on...
so much more than just, oh, CB Radio.
You can follow us on Twitter, at Wild Talk Radio. At WTR Sunday Night on Twitter, Facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork, Facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night.
Hey, yeah. Brian.
What, Brent?
Speaking of CB Radio, I've got a question for Tim.
Oh, God.
Hey, Tim. What's Forrest Gump's password?
What?
What's Forrest Gump's password?
What?
One, Forrest, one. That was the winner of last night's Greater Than Great Debate.
Really bad dad jokes?
Dad jokes part two.
Part two.
Oh my god. One, Forrest, one? Really bad. Not even close to funny. Anyway, yeah.
One, Forrest,
follow
one.
Me on the Twitter machines at Flames Forums. If you're into checking out what I do for a living. Follow me at Tim's_toolbox. Currently working on building a fence. Pictures will be posted this week. I'm also painting interior. Pictures will be posted this week. I'm going to start doing a little handyman tips and tricks on that account as well. So if you want to figure out how to fix something really super simple and easy, you'll find it there. You won't find anything like that on Keishi's social media, but you will find where he talks about Redbubble.
Yeah, you can find me on the Twitter and Instagram at Kyle Driver. Watch me skip rocks on the surface of social media.
Interesting.
Yes, well, that's about how deep into the social media ocean I go. I skip rocks well on the done. Surface. Yeah.
Well done.
If you are so inclined and you want to throw some support my way, you can visit my Redbubble store. It's kind of like a print-to-order store. Links to that are in the description of both the Instagram and the Twitter.
Coolio. Oh, yeah, there's also a brand new thing out there you can follow me on. If you are on Quora, you'll find me there. So look for Tim Stein and follow me on Quora. Because I'm answering questions on there now.
Brent's on social.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Kane Kittens. I have thoughts and opinions sometimes on stuff that happens on Wednesday nights and just general thoughts and feelings. By the way, hey, Keishi.
Yes.
What did the drummer call his twin daughters?
I wish I should know this one, but I don't. And I'm ashamed of myself.
Anna 1, Anna 2.
Yes, I love it.
Why does it have to be a drummer that says Anna 1, Anna 2? Jesus.
They usually do.
No.
This has been WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. They will be back in 2 weeks to review Money in the Bank. We're watching a pay-per-view next week. Say goodnight, Tim.
AEW's Forbidden Door.
Say goodnight.
That being said, have yourselves a great 2 weeks, everybody. Don't forget to stay up to date with us on social media. Check out all the regular weekly programming. Have yourself a great one. And once again, happy Father's Day, dads. That's why I'm going to take that strap.